Hello, welcome to another episode of Connected Tech Talks, the podcast from ITS. Delighted today to be joined by John Duncan, Connected Places Lead at Greater Manchester Combined Authority, and a former colleague of mine. So really good to be catching back up with John. As always, Catherine McNamara here with me as well as my delightful co-host. Let's get on with it.
I didn't realise it was a reunion.
Oh, big reunion.
Oh, we've kept that one quiet. Yeah, no, we're delighted to have you on the podcast, John. And I think first question for me when we were kind of doing some of our background is, what is a Connected Places Lead? If we could just jump into kind of a little bit about your job role.
Yeah, sure. And thanks for having me. Great to see you both. So Connected Places Lead is a relatively new role, actually, at Greater Manchester Combined Authority. So what it means in real terms is I lead on digital infrastructure policy and strategy for the Combined Authority. So anything to do with mobile or fixed fibre or wireless connectivity, it sort of sits underneath my remit. And the goal for us is to really drive what we have in Great Manchester, our digital blueprint. And we have a priority about creating connected places, which for us is about making our communities better connected to services, to the transport system, to a whole range of public sector services that sort of enhance their lives and improve the local region and places where they live. So it's, anything to do with digital connectivity sort of and strategy sort of sits underneath that role, which I'm really proud to be leading on.
It's quite interesting, isn't it? Because people think of digital, but it's everywhere, isn't it? And I think what you've just explained there, you've mentioned kind of other, you know, other portfolios like transport, and actually digital is just hidden in plain sight, and that's sometimes we overcomplicate it.
Absolutely. For me, it's digital is that great enabler to a whole range of functions of services or of things that be able to just sort of improve people's lives. And often you don't really sort of, you take things for granted, don't you, about where they are. But a really key thing for me is a big part of my role is engagement with the market. So working with people like yourselves at ITS and other network providers, it's sort of how do we get that connectivity to be universal? It's ubiquitous. Yeah. It's there for everybody all the time. And that's a big driver of my work and something that I'm really excited and enjoying getting part of and getting involved with.
Fantastic. Now, GMCA is a progressive authority when it comes to some of this stuff. We're reading about some of the really great work that you're doing at the moment, but just back to your background, how do you end up in a role that is a Connected Places Lead? What's kind of the journey that's taken you there?
Yeah, I think for me, it goes back roughly about 10 years. And funny enough, first time I met Dave, I was at Leeds City Council at the time, and I'd been working in their Economic Development Directorate. And there was a project coming out from BDUK, part of DCMS at the time, called the Super Connected Cities Programme. And the council were looking for somebody to get involved as a business development manager. And I thought, that sounds like a great opportunity. And at the time, I didn't know much about digital, to be honest. And I got involved with the project, and it was basically to support small businesses get access to connectivity vouchers, which enabled their at the time to get connected to super fast broadband. And Virgin Media at the time were one of the partners, and Dave was working there, and working with Virgin and other providers, I sort of got into a really successful program, and I really enjoyed it. And actually the program in Leeds and Bradford rolled out to be across the whole of West Yorkshire, and then we were asked to take on South Yorkshire, then we were asked to take on North Yorkshire because of the success of the engagement that we had with the market. So that was that sort of first bit of I've been bitten by the digital bug. And then not too long after, Dave actually came to me and asked me, would I like to join Virgin Media? And I said, yeah, that sounds great. And Dave then became my boss, and I was the regional development manager for business development manager for the north of England in the small and medium-sized enterprise sector, which was again a really interesting, exciting job. And I sort of learned then from the other side of the fence about being a connectivity provider, the challenges, the ways of operating, the expansion plans and that real benefit. And that got me to be, you know, a really great, I had a 7-year career at Virgin Media O2 Business as it's now known. And through that time, I managed to do three roles, funnily enough, all sort of mainly linked to the public sector. And I worked on another voucher scheme because DCMS like these voucher schemes. And that was really successful again, about getting more money out to sort of stimulate investment into infrastructure build. And then latterly, I got involved as a digital inclusion project manager on a secondment basis. So I went to GMCA because GMCA and Virgin Media O2 Business had gone into partnership about delivering a local full fibre network. So, you know, something like 3,000 kilometres of fibre to connect over 1,500 public sector buildings. And I came in as part of the social value piece. And I did that for 2.5 years, which was a great experience. And then after that, I went back to Virgin. And then GMCA very kindly sort of approached me about this Connected Places lead, and that sort of that 10-year journey of having experience of in the public, private, and back to it, like you say, a progressive organisation was a great one to be part of.
So I think, John, piecing all that together, obviously it seems like a long time ago since we started doing some work in Leeds. It feels like digital's just moved on massively since then. We talk about getting people, as part of that team, getting people access in some parts of that programme to kind of 70 meg broadband in some instances. Oh, yeah. Now we're out here kind of rolling out multi-gigabit capable fibre, and in that 10-year period's been a real acceleration of that. But what does the next bit look like in GM and beyond, really? What are the key initiatives that you're part of that you can tell us about that are really exciting you at the minute?
Yeah, it's about, now we've got this incredible gigabit capable connectivity and full fibre connectivity, it's like, how do we complete and actually maximise that connection? I'm working on a really exciting programme around about connectivity and innovation in social housing. We have over 260,000 properties in Greater Manchester, so 20% of the population is social housing. And there's still connectivity challenges, but also there's an opportunity there of where we can utilise innovation, sensors, IoT, in social housing to deliver more connected services and help the environment of the house, or the health and well-being of the residents, connectivity to other services. So we're developing this program called Connected Homes Inclusive Places, or CHIPS for short. It's like you say, Dave, it's that innovation, but so what? And what can we do with it? And how can we enhance it? So that's a program of work that we're developing. But within that, we're actually a 5G innovation region partner. So again, DCIT have got this program going on at the moment about 5G and sort of advanced wireless technologies, about how we can connect sensors, IoT, any sort of innovation around sort of that greater connectivity and how it enhances residents' lives. And we've got this key focus in Greater Manchester, again, on social housing, which is why it really links to the programme of work that I'm developing.
Sounds really interesting. A lot of our listeners will, I think we've got a lot of listeners now, we've put a few of these out, but a lot of our listeners are kind of, will be interested in that, but quite a lot of listeners to the podcast are thinking about things from a business point of view as well as residential. Is there much going on in the kind of business arena in terms of developing that technology in GMCA?
Huge, massively. So, I mean, for us, we've got a whole range of growth locations in and sort of target key places where we need to see that digital infrastructure to go in to then enable that business sector. Mm. We're also working with the data center market, which is a really, really big part. I was with the mayor just last week, and we went to KO Data Center, who was set up in your area, in Stockport. And the capabilities of what that can do for the business community is massive. And we see ourselves in Greater Manchester as being a sort of an enabler of that investment into the region. We've got fantastic assets such as the internet connectivity and the internet exchange we have with, you know, the transatlantic networks. And we want to see Greater Manchester as that sort of place where people, businesses will focus, say, we've got the infrastructure there, right? So we've got the data center infrastructure, we've got the fibre infrastructure or the mobile infrastructure to have a really successful and thriving business. So we engage with the business market. But I say from my position, from an infrastructure position, it's really sort of making sure that we've not only gaps, we're also engaging with those local authorities where they've got those plans. Mm-hmm. Where are those new business developments, commercial developments going to go? Making sure we engage with people like yourselves about getting the infrastructure in early and plan. So yeah, I see that as a really, really key part of our work.
Do you, I mean, you mentioned kind of DCIT and kind of the 5G innovation regions. So how collaboratively do you work with other authorities and kind of share your learnings and share? Because actually, some of this stuff, if it happens in one area, you think, oh, this should be happening everywhere. And yeah. I guess, you know, we're probably all guilty of sitting in our kind of own regions or silos. But how much kind of cross chat takes place between kind of your equivalents or others, whether that be, I don't know, Scotland, Wales, yeah. down south? What's that look like?
It's huge, and I've seen that collaboration as being absolutely critical to what we do. And we are a public service, and we are keen to share our knowledge with others. I was recently connected Britain with, and again, you guys were down there, and it was great to see the amount of public sector organisations together sharing each other's case studies. I've been learning, for example, case studies that have been delivered in London on damp and mould monitoring. Again, social housing is a sort of key focus for me. So learning from that, but also we share, and we've got partnerships actually with the West Midlands 5G guys. So we work with those guys. We're part of the UK TIN group. So I sit in some of their advisory groups. And that's really about bringing other authorities together as well and talking about innovation in the telecoms business and sector. I'm going up to Glasgow to meet one of the 5G innovation region partners to hear about what they're delivering. It's a great collaboration group. There's a lot. We actually make some really good friendships out of this. Mm-hmm. And if you come back to Greater Manchester, we're made up of 10 local authorities. And you know, so it's critical that we work really, really closely with all our partners in the local authorities and the transport network and the fire and rescue service. We're all equal partners, but we're driven by this collaborative approach. And we see the fact that we're quite well known as probably the most advanced devolved English region in the, you know, in England. So as often leaders when it comes to digital innovation, but we're absolutely 100% all about sharing.
How important is it to bring not just the public? It's great to hear that public sector is working together. I think often when you look at the way public organisations work, often it feels like there's division. So it's great to hear those things that there's not. And I'm sure there is, but in a lot of things you're working on, kind of information sharing best practice, all of those kind of bits. How important is it that branches out into the private sector as well? Because I'm quite conscious that kind of the organisations that need to help on that journey, certainly from a digital point of view, are probably likely to be private businesses rather than public.
And they are, because I say the vast majority of the solutions that we're going to be provided will be provided by the private sector. And I see part of my role, a key part of my role, is that engagement with private sector organisations, particularly the telcos and the network providers. It's absolutely massive to me, because without your connectivity and your solutions, we cannot possibly deliver all the services that we want to do. I've made it part of my mission is to be really, really open and ready to engage with the telco sector. I've been really pleased that organisations are sharing your build plans. You're informing us about where you're going. And we can help steer as well and tell you guys where our priorities are. But also, which is really exciting for me, is those innovations and those new technologies which help deliver the services that we want to do. And so there's some really exciting opportunities. So without that openness and willingness to share our objectives and align where we can with your objectives in the private sector, I think, you know, if we don't do that, we're going to be really struggle and have that old siloed approach, which just doesn't work. Mm.
Is there anything kind of, we've obviously talked quite a little bit there around stuff that kind of GMCA is doing and how it's plugged into kind of other regions around the country and kind of some of this innovation. But If you kind of step back from that, are there any technologies or any kind of digital developments at the moment that you've got your eye on and that are just, you know, really making you think and really capturing your attention?
Yeah, I think the easy answer would be say AI, but I'm going to avoid that because I think for me, what I've been really excited about more recently is that connectivity around about devices in people's homes or in places. And how that's integrating with sometimes customer relationship management, CRM systems, and how they then get engaged back and inform residents or citizens about the impact on their lives. So I can give an example where with regards to like a damp and mould monitor in somebody's house, where that information can go to a CRM system, and then that resident can say, okay, we know there's a challenge going on about perhaps the environment that you live in, and then actually that the housing provider sort of says, well, these are the things we're going to do, keeping you informed all through technology, and it's actually going back on an app, and the residents can see all this information coming through to them. Now, that to me is a coordinated from the device through the connectivity into a system that then sort of informs the providers about what they need to do to fix the problem, but also to keep the resident engaged about how that happens. I think that's really quite interesting and exciting. There's so many use cases that are potential that technology can enable, from air quality to falls prevention, monitoring people with regards to, you know, perhaps more vulnerable members of our society, and how we can make sure that we're doing interventions and keeping in touch with people who might need support. And that's why I really get excited. Obviously, AI is going to bring that next level of, you know, forward thinking of like, you know, being really proactive and sort of how we can utilize AI for delivery of public services. That's exciting. But obviously, we've got a sort of cautionary note about how that goes. But I'm always really excited about what connectivity can deliver with innovation. And I've seen some really good examples at the moment. So those
sounds like it. Just sound like an interesting one. I guess it's kind of closing the loop all the way around, but it's driving efficiency for both the resident or tenant that's having that problem, because in a previous life, they might have had to make a lot of phone calls, they might have to chase things up, they might have not known what was going on, but also for the council to be able to apply their limited resources to solve things, actually having that kind of sensor-led approach to it kind of makes that more efficient as well. And I imagine when you're talking kind of AI, you could apply some AI into that journey, but really the application of AI, which is a massive buzzword at the minute, only really helps when you're applying it over the top of something or under the foundation of something that's really kind of impactful anyway.
Absolutely that. And say the cost efficiency point you made there, Dave, is critical. You know that public sector are under an awful lot of budget pressures at the moment, and there's all sorts of challenges out there. But I see that there's an opportunity of a sort of an investor save model, where if you invest in technology, you're going to ultimately end up saving money. And I see that more in the public sector. And again, it's like if we have to work with private innovators and connectivity providers to be able to do that. And I really like and seeing and welcome seeing case studies of where that innovation has happened. And in multiple locations, it doesn't have to be just social housing. It can be in town centres, it can be in places, it can be on the transport network. I've been working with fire and rescue service providers, and that they're really, some of the innovation that's going through there, it's life-saving, you know, and some of the stuff that's come out from the Grenfell report, how innovation now can actually sort of help and make sure that things like, you know, drone technology can be utilised to help, you know, keep buildings safe, or know when fire officers can go in and do work. It's endless.
So there's a question that we ask all of our guests, John, and it's a more personal question, if you don't mind us getting a little bit more personal. What piece of technology couldn't you live without?
Oh my goodness me. Well, I couldn't live without. I mean, the obvious one would say phone.
Everyone says it, don't they?
A piece of technology I couldn't live without. Oh my goodness. I'd probably be dead boring and just sort of say my laptop, and, you know, being able to do what I do now. I mean, I couldn't be engaging with you guys with, you know, you know, without this and technology. And I do use my phone and my laptop an awful lot. And I think though, yeah, I suppose I'm also thinking at the moment, I've just got myself an electric vehicle. So I'm now learning all about, you know, the charging systems and the wonderful ZapMap, and I was a plug out for ZapMap, so it tells you where the electric vehicle charging points are. So, and also my fit of the efficiency, and I'm sort of a proper electric vehicle geek at the moment. So I'd have to say anything around about that is a big pace for me.
Another question we've been asking, and we've been kind of doing this across our guests, is sharing some guest asked questions again. So we can kind of share some love with what some of our podcast guests have been thinking. So if you were to think back to a piece of technology that you could bring back, kind of retro, what would it be?
Oh, retro. So I was a child of the sort of the 80s, and, you know, I had the first, like, ZX Spectrum and all those pieces, and I used to put a cassette in and you used to load a game, and it was like 32K, and you just had to wait for it to download. And even though it's obviously really dated and ancient sort of technology, I'd loved it. There was a game called Daily Thompson Decathlon, and I'm probably aging myself big time here, but you used to have to press the buttons, and it was really like rubber and soft, and you just like bound away at them. So I would love to have, and I don't know where it is now, but my ZX Spectrum 48K, if I could find that somewhere, I'd love to pull that out and play with
that. Get one of them on eBay, I bet. Probably won't be cheap.
It probably won't be. It's probably some museum somewhere now. But that was my introduction into sort of computer and access and playing games and having fun with technology. And I think that often that gets forgotten, that technology can be fun and engaging and opens up new things for people. So yeah,
absolutely, probably absolutely. That.
So I think bring back the Walkman.
Yes,
you bring the Walkman. Ah, no, far too clunky for me. Yeah, that'd be
fantastic.
Me.
Well, I think that's a really great place to wrap up, John. And thank you so much for coming on, and thanks to everybody for listening. You can access this podcast on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, and please do share it with friends and colleagues who you think might be able to derive some value from it. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Thanks, Catherine.
My pleasure. Thank you. Cheers.